You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Joining me on our birthday, the third birthday of All Marine Radio. How about that?
Really?
Yeah. How about that? Holy shit, right?
Yeah.
Is not only then Michael Musselman. So, yep. First of all, happy birthday. You are a crowd favorite. I don't know why, but people like you. But we've been doing this for a while now, so thank you for everything you've contributed, honestly. No joke.
Well, you're more than welcome, and yes, I know. I'm not going to sit here and try and carve up the pie of success, but let's just say, after taking my bite, I'd be eating a lot of pie.
There you go. Of course, of course. What, so, my phone rings. First of all, let's talk about the FBI video. I got a text. First of all, for people that haven't seen it. Before we even do that. All right, let me write this stuff down because we never come back to it. Okay. All right.
Someone said that. You ask clowns.
Were you surprised this morning?
You never come back to what you're going to say.
Were you surprised this morning at the Supreme Court decision relative to the cake baker? Were you surprised that the court ruled 7-2 that baker cannot be compelled to bake that cake for a gay couple?
I didn't hear the news. What happened, though? So the court ruled in favor of the baker?
Yeah.
What?
7-2 the winds, in favor.
The winds have changed. Yeah, I know Ruth Bader Ginsburg is one of the two. That's no doubt.
I was stunned. Then, I was like, whoa.
Then Sonia was the other two, number two.
She's a Yankee fan.
Of course. All Yankee fans
I knew
like,
that was...
are like Soda Bader or Soda Mayor or whatever her name is.
I knew that. I knew. I shouldn't have said that, but I figured. Are you kidding me? Boston is a conservative town, right? Wrong. Okay, so let's not go there.
No. Stop. Every city, really, every metropolis. Dallas is a very liberal city. Houston is a very little city. You know, they're little islands in the sea of conservatism. New York is super conservative. Liberal.
Yeah, other than Wall Street, where all your money is, that's pretty conservative. But the rest of the city, liberal. You're right.
Name a big city that's conservative.
There isn't one.
Cheyenne, Wyoming?
There isn't one.
No.
Listen to this. My cousin, Tom, who's the closest thing I have to a brother. We've grown up together. And his son is the baseball player, Joe. He's playing, I told you, in the Wood Bat League in Minnesota for college players. And he's playing for a team in Wilmer, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So my cousin Tom, this is the most time he's ever spent in the Midwest. What do you think his reaction is when I talk to him? I've been talking to him almost on a daily basis. What do you think? Do you think he's excited about being in the Midwest?
Oh, God, no.
No.
I mean, if he is,
he loves it.
He's a guy who doesn't. What?
Yes, he's like, you know what, Mike? These are the nicest people. They stopped the opening night was on a week ago Monday, so it would be the Monday of Memorial Day weekend. They put the colors of every branch of the military up in the inside the stadium. I walked over and I shook hands with the guy who put up the Marine colors, and he sends me a video. Hey, have you heard of All Marine Radio? And the guy says, yeah, of course I have. And then he says, he talks to him for a minute. When were you in the Marine Corps? 1979 to 1984. What'd you do? I was with Marine Wing Support, blah, 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 whatever. Something. Goes, you got anything to say to everybody on All Marine Radio? Yeah, Semper Fidelis, Mac. So he says, Where do you find these people? You would never find this in California. I said, it's the Midwest, man. It's the best. Small town America.
Okay. This dude needs to get out more, man. If he thinks that, you know, if he's kind of socked blown out by that, then, yeah, he needs to get out more.
No, but my point is this. If you live in big city, if you spent most of your life in big city anywhere, when you go to the Midwest, uh-huh. I won't even say Midwest because it's not geographic specific. When you go to small town America, you'll find a different country. You'll find a different way of life, and it's better. Just so you know. So, there you have it.
That's true.
My cousin Tom is loving it. He's like, these are the nicest people I've ever met in my life. And I said, hey, and he works for the Diocese of Sacramento. He's a chief financial officer. And I said, hey, the other thing I'll tell you, you'll be driving through different you know, places, and you'll see a church spire coming out of a small town. Go check that out. Some of the churches are beautiful in those small towns. So he called me the other day. He goes, hey, I've stopped in a couple churches. He goes, Mike, they're beautiful. I said, that was the center. That's the center of the community, man. He goes, wow. He said, this is cool. So anyway, he's having a good time. All right, let's go back to the video. Describe the FBI agent dancing and what happens, and then give us your thoughts on it.
Yeah. So what I can't make out. Okay, so he's late 20s, mid 20s FBI guy. I mean, clearly, this is the FBI has the winds have changed in the FBI. So now we're really going after these kind of goofballs. But he's dancing. He does a backflip, and his pistol comes out, and he goes to pick it up. And he puts his finger in the trigger and pulls the trigger as he's picking up the gun. And the gun goes off at about ankle level and supposedly strikes a guy in the crowd. He picks up the gun and puts it back in his, and I can't make out if it's actually, it's inside the waistband holster or he just tucks it, you know, because here's what I'm having a problem with is like, my inside the waistband holster that I would put in the back.
Right.
It's a very firm fitting holster. I mean, it's a friction lock. I mean, it has no strap over the top, but it takes a good tug to get that pistol out. And it would be pretty tough. I mean, I'm not going to do a backflip or anything, but it'd be pretty tough to
not even
get that pistol out.
Not even, let's just say you could do a backflip. Flip that was in your repertoire, that you had got really good results when you were in Spain or Venezuela, when you were didn't show up at the Marine Corps ball?
Neither. I was in Argentina.
Argentina. Okay. So let's just say you got really good results and you were still, so you're a few years out of the Marine Corps, but that backflip is a crowd pleaser and you had that in your repertoire. Would you tell me that if you had if you were carrying, you wouldn't bust out your move at 12:45 a.m. if you thought it
no.
was?
No.
You would not?
No. All
right. Just checking.
Yeah, no. Nope. But, yeah, then the gun comes out. So, the gun in question is probably a Glock. because, again, you know, like I say, Mac, and this is for everybody, even one of our friends. Ugh. You shoot a Glock, you have to be above average person when it comes to weapons. Okay.
And
so if you are a beginner, yes, the Beretta is a fantastic gun. It's got safety switches and doohickey and decocking levers. And yeah, it'll make you feel safe. But, you know, for those that choose to step above the rest, then they choose the Glock. But so it looked like a Glock. He grabbed it. He put his finger in the trigger. As he grabbed it, pulled the trigger, boom. So, you know, it violates, you know, the four safety rules that I kind of teach everybody when I teach handguns. Number one, all guns are loaded. I don't use the old Marine Corps one of treat all guns as if they were loaded. No, it's just a final statement. It's a finite statement. All guns are loaded. Okay? All guns are loaded. Period. No question. So, and number two, keep your finger straightened out the trigger until you're ready to fire. Now, if he was ready to fire at that guy's ankle, then yeah, sure, go ahead, put your finger on the trigger. But my guess is that no, he didn't mean to. He was just kind of stupid. He didn't, and it kind of, it's alarming the fact that if an FBI agent is cheating his gun like that, then again, it goes against the whole, it goes in my favor of the FBI and a lot of law enforcement agencies are no longer what they consider gun culture places. You know, the Marine Corps is not a gun culture. We're in fear of the gun. We are deathly afraid of the gun in the Marine Corps.
Oh my God.
You've seen it. Clearing barrels everywhere. Clear that weapon. I know it's clear. I need you to put it in that barrel and point the weapon in there and clear it. Why? I know it's clear. But I don't know it's clear. I'm telling you it's clear.
Okay, let me stop you. Let me stop you and ask you a question. Okay. When did we wire our... Do you remember when the Marine Corps wired slides shut? We did.
Yeah, we did safety wire. Not everybody.
There was like duty pistols that were wired shut. Mm-hmm. I swear to God. I remember something.
No, that was a long time ago, the Mac. That was a long time ago.
I know. They were 45s. They weren't 9 mils. So back in the 45 era, this is kind of crazy. Like Mike's talking about gun culture. Are you a gun culture? And then, he posted video Sunday morning, right? And in our little group of ass clowns, right? So now I decided to chum the water. It's probably a Glock.
Yeah, right? Yeah, of course.
Probably a Glock.
And one of our buddies bit on that bait
and said, "What do you say?" That's why I don't own one. And I'm thinking Mike's not going to respond to that because he never takes.
No. It says this is what it says. Nice backflip. Now by our friend, Mac comes back to his probably a Glock. No safety on those things. The other guy comes back and says, why I don't own one. And then, of course, I'm looking at that. I see it and I said to myself, I'm not gonna do it. So I know what Mac's doing. So then I come back and I write, only cards think safeties are on guns. And then you come back and chum the water even more. Glocks are unsafe. It's the reason why the Army bought the Sig Sauer. And
yes.
I said, thank you for reinforcing my position on blank cards.
So it is pretty amazing. Bottom line, though, is somebody was probably shot in the foot, Mike. Lower extremity.
Wound. Yeah, lower. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank God. Okay, let me go back to. Here's an email, Mac. You're such an idiot. You said you were going to write this down and come back to make your point. You made the point of your cousin being in the Midwest, and you never relinked it to the Supreme Court decision. You dope. You're right. My point was that there is another country out there. Okay. There's a country.
Supreme Court.
Yeah.
What?
And there's a Supreme Court, okay, that is reflective of that now. That Trump has had a chance to make one appointment. He'll probably make another before his term ends. And that's the way that the nation works. Okay. Now, the hummingbird people that are going, that will have Mike an absolute meltdown, right? Because of this verdict, what do you mean that he doesn't have to make that cake? Of course he has to make that cake. You know, the country's going backwards, you know, and this whole thing about deregulation and capitalism, like that he thinks has fueled these historic lows in unemployment between Hispanic, black, and women under whatever age. This is ridiculous. You're like, no, it's really not. Okay. It's really not. But the meltdown is going to be today is going to be incredible. Something to behold. So I wanted to address that. The it's good. I'll tell you what though. I was really surprised though when I saw. I thought it would be 5-4 verdict, and when it, and I thought it would go the other way, and when I saw it was 7-2 in favor. I'm now kind of curious. So you can be open to the public, and I want you to make a product that you don't create, and you say, no, I'm not going to do that. Is that different from the Somalis that drive taxis at the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport when you fly in and they smell liquor on your breath, refusing to take you for a ride because it offends their religion? Is that different?
Is that the same?
Yeah, is that the same thing? You offend me religiously,
no,
so
because,
I don't have
no,
to...
No, no, it's not the same, because the baker's not affected. He chooses not to actually provide the service. There's no effect on the baker.
Right.
He doesn't have to he doesn't have to change his obligations or his belief or his something, you know, to make you happy. He's refusing service. So it's the same. I mean, if a Somali's if that's against their belief and they smell alcohol and he chooses not to, then yeah, get out of the taxi. Don't make a big deal about it. You shouldn't be drinking anyway.
Let alone drinking and getting into a cab, for God's sakes. What is that about?
I mean, if you're going to do that, drive yourself, for God's sake.
Drive yourself, get arrested, and let's take care of the whole thing in one fell swoop. Yeah, so... So
yeah, another idiot off the road. That's all I got to say.
So it'll be interesting. Email about this is about the FBI. Remember all those effing nerds in short sleeve white shirts and black pants at the Quantico Exchange on weekends? Question mark. I'm having a hard time imagining one of them doing a backflip at a bar at 01 anywhere. I don't really recall seeing them.
Oh, I did.
You do?
Yeah, well, I would go over there every once in a while. I was actually over a lot on the FBI Academy side, but they were, you could see the change, the shift, you know, the winds had shifted, and they were going after more computer nerds and, you know, guys with that would go out and get manicures and, you know, pedicures instead of foreign military guys or, you know, because again, they're not a gun culture. It's just one of those things. We have to issue a gun. Ooh, I don't know. It's scary. Can I just pretend I have a gun and just get a badge? Do all my crime solving from the computer monitor?
Hey, that's the way we do it today. The I don't remember seeing them. Here's another email. Mac, that's probably because you live your life in such a self-absorbed way. Maybe that's true. Maybe I just never was. I remember you can always tell candidates their wrinkled clothes, they look their stupid haircuts. You can and they're just standing around looking lost. You're like, get out of my way.
You could always tell everybody. You know what? Because you know I used to love Quantico because it was the melting pot for rubes. And it is. I mean, so you get your lieutenants that got this ridiculous haircut, and that they're tan except for the top of their hair where they just got a cut. And they always have to have belts and slacks on because you couldn't wear jeans.
Stupid.
Yeah. And then they didn't know how to dress themselves, so they always color coordination was just out the window. And then across the street, you had your MSG students who couldn't buy a suit to save their life because they still thought that corduroy jackets with the leather elbow pads were still in fashion.
It's awful. And then you had these
brown blazer, a red tie, and blue slacks, and they thought that they were coolest thing in their
look stupid. And
with
then
the
you
Marine Corps tie clasp.
And then you have the cool guys. Then you have the cool guys, right? Like colonels and lieutenant colonels. And majors who don't have a tan, right, and have these disgusting hairy legs, they're wearing their shorts with a belt and a shirt, a college shirt, and just like,
well,
how did I get?
You can tell like pogue officers because their color in their eyes dissipates after a while of being in that cubicle, not seeing sunlight. They turn into like a rat, a blind rat. I never see sunlight.
It is.
And if they happen to leave the building during lunch, they're like blinded by that ball of light in the sky. They're like, oh, God, what is that?
But I don't remember seeing FBI. I remember seeing FBI when they'd come running out towards the basic school. They didn't do it very often, but sometimes they'd go on a long run. And they'd come over by the basic school from where they're on the different side of I'm kind of close to the basic school, but kind of not. So they'd come running, and, you know, you'd see a bunch of people. I mean, it's probably maybe a third of the formation was women, so they had to run slower. They got knee braces on. Then you'd see the guys that are motivated, right? The motards, they're like, rah, rah, rah. And you're just driving by in your car going from one problem to another going, whoa, check it out. FBI got their guide on out there. But I don't remember seeing him anywhere else. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. Maybe I am too sober.
Yeah, you weren't paying attention.
I had kids, man.
And then you have
trying to make sure my kids don't get lost.
Then you have your asshole gunner running around. Everybody's got sleeves up, and I'm sleeves down. And everybody's trying to correct me.
Yeah, gunner, sleeves up.
I just got off the range, and I'm going back to the range. I know, but you got to – no, I'm not playing your stupid game of rolling my sleeves up or carrying two blouses with me. Carry on.
Carry on, sir. Do you believe in UFOs?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you believe?
I believe that there's, I mean, not, to not believe that there's some kind of, another life form in this universe is kind of stupid. I mean, if we're the, I don't believe that we're the only ones.
Ooh. You don't. So, do you think that
the government has been covering it up? I mean, come on. To have the belief that the government actually covers something up is far-fetched. So, please.
Okay.
So, really, come on. Help me digest that one.
That's not what I... So how do you... So when you see a... For instance, that video of the two Navy F-18 pilots looking at that, that something and going, hey, what's that? It's like hovering, staring at us. Just disappeared. What happened? Have you seen that video?
Yeah, I did.
So what do you think?
Yeah, it's just unexplained stuff. I mean, you know.
Do you think we should take it more seriously than we do?
No, I think I would take it serious the day that something lands and walks out and then start taking control of us, then that's the time to start being concerned. But until that point, I'm not worried about it.
Okay. All right. Just checking. All right. Tell everybody about your ribs and about live streaming yesterday. How I don't understand how you are not when you are in fact the house mouse. You don't have house mouse responsibilities. Explain that. It's what are you, Attila the Hun? I'm the house mouse, but I'm not.
Yeah. So I cooked ribs yesterday, and went through this painstaking. Putting stuff together, making the rub, putting them, you know, and then grilling them, get the nice sear on them, and then I finished them in the oven. And then, you know, they were really tender, really good. Juicy as all get out. I mean, gosh, they were good. So, and then, yeah, you call me a house mouse because I can cook.
So Mike's live streaming, and then he's bitching about the soap ran out. Because he's washing his hands, and he says that his wife
gets on me because I put dish soap in the soap dispenser. She's like, "No, you got," and she likes to buy the specialized soaps that are like coconut lime and pineapple mango, and you know, it's like, how about Dawn? Dawn works too.
Yeah, so she's filming Mike, and I keep asking her, like, can you broaden the shot to get Mike in it? And then he looks up, and he says, what are you doing? She's like, well, Mac wants to see you. And he's like, keep the camera on the ribs. And then she says, Mac says the house mouse buys the soap.
Yeah.
And Mike says, I'm not the house mouse. I'm not the house mouse, all right?
She's no.
It's not a term you hear used very often, but trust me.
Yeah, it went back and forth.
It was funny. It was funny. But you said you were going to you broadcast again later on in the day. You said it was you, but you never came back on.
No, I took a picture and put it on. I took the after picture and posted that.
Okay. All right. What about before you get? I know you got to go. So let's kind of talk about what's going to happen tomorrow. Introduce Paul Soldra. Do you say his name Zoldra? Is the S silent? Do you say it Zoldra? How do you say it?
It's Zoldra.
Just the
S is silent.
Okay.
Yeah, the Z.
All right.
So Paul was a Marine with Paul and I served together at Infantry Training Battalion. He was one of the instructors, and he was just a very intelligent guy, but he was very sarcastic and cynical in a very funny way. And Paul started the Duffel Blog, which kind of takes funny stories and makes them even more funny, you know, and puts a sarcastic humor to them. And it's funny to watch people, you know, when it first started out, it was like the Onion, you know, it was all make-believe stuff, but making people believe, you know, in what he was talking about and just bringing light and humor to the military.
So he's going to join us tomorrow, and we're going to talk about his career, and you'll see his byline. Business Insider does a lot of pretty cutting edge military reporting. He's written for them, and he'll write both serious and satire stuff. For instance, Mike, the only thing I'm curious about his thoughts on Afghanistan. I mean, here's one of the things he's written. Does General Dunford actually believe his own bullshit? And he wrote that on March 29th of this year. So I'm curious about his thoughts on Afghanistan. Does he believe, here's another one, you can always tell when generals don't have a good answer, they invoke 9/11. Another one, the Pentagon is really ramping up the high quality bullshit about Afghanistan. So I'm curious about his actual thoughts on Afghanistan and whatnot. So that would be the only serious thing we talk about, because he's written about it on a number of occasions. So anyway, all right. Okay. What do you got going on today? Where are you headed?
I got a class I got to teach.
About what?
License to carry.
License to carry. All right. I will let you go. Have a good class. Thanks for the visit.
All right.
Always a pleasure. Happy birthday.
You too.
All right. There you have it. The one and only, Michael Musselman, here on the birthday edition of All Marine Radio. Yeah. Year 3 starts today.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place!
The Beatles.
But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be alright? Alright.
You know, I got an email. I'll read it to you. And then I think it's funny, though. Here's the email. Mac, you were saying a little bit ago that a conservative court and deregulating business and watching the economy grow are absolutely foreign to some people. And as I thought about it, you are absolutely right. There are people in this country that have only known Barack Obama, George Bush as the president of the United States. During that period of time, the economy on its ass and lots of federal regulation. So what would you question? What would you base this deregulation argument on? Answer, the economic engine that is the United States of America and the way the nation has historically developed? Oh, my bad. I didn't see that coming. This conservative thing, where did it come from? It's always been a core part of the United States. It's always been a part of the United States. It believes more fundamentally in that people provide for themselves, and it's not the government's responsibility to provide for them. Imagine hearing those two concepts being so foreign to you and that this was the way the nation was going to go. talk about mind-blowing, as you often say, like going to the zoo for the first time, seeing these concepts and wondering, I never thought about it like that. Yeah, a little bit different. A little bit different. And again, it's hard because most of our educators are liberal, our universities are liberal, and the media is liberal. So I want to talk about a story that's pretty amazing. As you watch events unfold, the North Korea's top three military officials have been removed from their post, a senior U.S. official said. A move analysts said on Monday could support efforts by the North's young leader. It's interesting how he's being portrayed now. The North's young leader, not brutal dictator, but the North's young leader. This is Reuters too, so it's not some you know, jackass of a publication. Reuters with its worldwide and, you know, long history. So Kim Jong-un is preparing for a high-stakes summit with Donald Trump in Singapore on June 12th, the first such meeting between the North Korean leader and a sitting U.S. president. The U.S. official who spoke on Sunday on condition of anonymity was commenting on a report by South Korea's Yonhap news agencies that all three of the North's top three military officials were believed to have been replaced. Kim's motivation remains unclear, but analysts said the shakeup allows him and the ruling party to tighten control over the Korean People's Army at a critical time of international engagement and domestic development. Quote, if Kim Jong-un is set on making peace with the U.S. and South Korea and dealing away at least part of the nuclear program, he will have to put the North Korean People's Army's influence in a box and keep it there, said Ken Gauss, director of the International Affairs Group at CNA, a nonprofit research and analysis organization. This reshuffle has brought to the fore officers who can do just that. They are loyal to Kim Jong-un and no one else. The United States, well, anyway. Very, very, very interesting little article on Reuters. It's entitled, I won't read you the whole thing, it's entitled North Korea Shakes Up Top Military Brass Ahead of Trump Summit. I should post it on the read board. I will try to do that. There's a section in it that's pretty interesting called Economic Factors, Party Control. Given the military's secondary role in North Korea's nuclear and missile programs, the moves are likely more about installing a younger, even more trusted cohort of officials who Kim Jong-un can rely on as he confronts a variety of domestic and international issues, said Michael Madden, a North Korean expert at Johns Hopkins. The nuclear weapons are a side issue, he said. The moves are likely linked in part to Kim Jong-un's drive to have the military take a bigger role in critical infrastructure projects. That could explain why newly appointed directors of the NPK's General Political Bureau, Army General Kim Soo-gil, accompanied Kim Jong-un on a field guidance trip to a beach tourist zone with other officials, Madden said. Kim Jong-un is also likely expecting to receive more international economic aid and investment soon, as part of the ongoing talks, and he wants to prevent corruption that plagues some past projects, Madden said. All of the newly promoted officials are younger than their predecessors, including 63-year-old Ri Yong-gil, who is 21 years younger than Ri Myung-soo. That's amazing that they're that old. So, big news really from the Korean Peninsula, and I take that back to our discussion with Grant Newsham, who said last week that, you know, that he is, to a certain extent, living in fear, that, you know, he could be assassinated. I thought that was kind of interesting. I thought that he had a hold of that country by the stacking swivel and was like ruthlessly in control of it. But according to Grant, that he still felt some fear, some trepidation at the at generals as he would take the country in a different direction, and that they all would not be signed up for the program. Joining us for the first time in a while is F-18 guy, Kurt Knowles. He's a former fighter pilot. Are you okay with the drone guys playing in the homoerotic beach volleyball scene in the Top Gun 2?
Man, I'm telling you, there's some validity to their, what I would say, how they attribute to our military, but they're not going to, I know you always think they're going to get rid of manned aviation. They're not going to get rid of manned
aviation.
They're not.
You're going to be in a museum someday. That's what daddy used to do. Don't they do that anymore? No, it's all done by machines.
Can you imagine now boarding United 1762 and you look out front, there's nobody sitting up there? Would you get on that plane?
No, but that's because there's people on there and somebody's got to take over. Once we eliminate the pilot, we don't have to protect him, so that lessens all the stuff that we don't have to put in there that he's – we just crash the bitch and get a new one, right? We don't need you. We don't need you. So, all right, next aviation question. So now you're going to have the drone guys playing in the volleyball game, right? Man boobs, paunches, right? Right, you're gonna have grunts playing on the other side, spiking it off their forehead. It's gonna be a totally different ball. It's gonna be
it'll be like the Meet the Fockers movie.
Exactly. It'll be something like out of like Animal House, right? The ROTC guys against the guys from whatever that frat was. Next question: do you believe in UFOs?
Yes.
You do.
Yeah.
Explain.
Absolutely. I think we're naive if we think that there is not other, you know, living species outside of our universe, and I'm sure have technological advantages well beyond us that are traveling around. I absolutely think that's true.
All right.
You look up in the sky. Every star is a sun, and every star. And every sun has planets. You're telling me that we're the only living existence out there? I just know why.
Okay. Do you have a picture of Stephen Hawking on your cell phone?
No, but did you watch that movie the movie of his life that just came out? Sitting there, I watched it this weekend. It's fantastic. Have you seen it?
No. Am I?
Oh my God!
Come on, man.
Dude, you got to watch it, man. It's not. It is fascinating how he.
You're taking this. You're taking this program into a pretty dorky direction. I know you pride yourself on being like a cool guy, but you are pegging the dork meter right now. Stephen Hawking, UFOs.
The Stephen Hawking movie, the story of his life. It just came out. It's fantastic.
So. So Mike is doing ribs, right? And, his wife is filming him. And I type into the comment as he's live streaming, the house mouse buys the soap, right? So Mike's wife Tina says to him, Max says the house mouse buys the soap. And with that, he stops preparing the ribs and he looks and he says, I'm not the house mouse. So
it's like don't ever call me the house mouse again.
I have no idea how that term popped into my head. First of all, tell everybody who doesn't know what a house mouse is. Most people listening to this program will, but for people that don't, Kurt's got a funny story about house mouse. So go tell them what tell everybody what it is, and then tell your story.
So, in recruit training in officer tennis school, the drill instructors typically find like the, you know, kind of a book smart guy, the guy that's like the guy that can keep the, like their little notes for them, and then he also is in charge of typically sleeping out the drill instructor's duty hut, right? So he's called the house mouse, and he's he does all the little admin guys. So he kind of usually, you know, the stereotypical guy is, you've got the glasses on, you know, it's almost like you've got a pencil in the ear with a broom in his hand, and you're sleeping the drill instructor's duty hut, and then, you know, they have him take, like, little notes and keep track of all the admin stuff, the little house mouse for the drill instructors, right? So they don't have to worry about writing it down. They just get the house mouse, and he cleans the drill instructor's duty hut, and he takes care of all the little admin stuff that the drill instructors need to have done, and, you know, throughout the day. So, yeah.
All right, so that's the concept of the house mouse. And it's known worldwide throughout the Marine Corps, generations, doesn't matter. Everybody understands what the house mouse is. Everybody also understands who the genius is. So there's certain billets at Officer Candidate School and at the Recruit Depot that you, when you hear it, you're like, yeah, I know what that is. So, all right, give us your
house. Yeah, it's very valid. What you said, it's like, so they typically, the drill instructors will figure out who the smart one is, and they appoint the smart one to the house mouse. Because he's in charge of, like, you know, different administrative stuff they don't want to screw up. And that leads me to this crazy story, right? So I was a company commander of Alpha Company at the time at MCRD San Diego. This would have been around 2001 time frame, right? So the house mouse has a lot of power. And one of the jobs of the house mouse at the time for this company, for this platoon, was he was in charge of the fire watch, right? So he would assign who has what fire watches, right? So you don't, if you're a recruit, you don't want to piss off the house mouse because he might say something kind of subtle to the drill instructors about, you know, recruit Smith, or he also might assign you the worst fire watch, right? And there's not much you can do about it. You know, the house mouse has a lot of power, right? So we're getting ready to graduate. We're towards the end of the training. And so the recruits are basically, they are just rehearsing for parade day, and they're getting all jazzed up because their families are coming into town, and they're getting to go to a whole different base on Thursday, called Visitor Thursday, and do all their shopping, right? This is when the MCRD makes a killing on sales because all the recruits buy all the Marine Corps paraphernalia, right? Are you with me, Mac, on this?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, I want to make sure I didn't lose you.
No.
So they go, so first day rolls around, right? And we're finishing our rehearsals with parade, and we go for a run. He's like, they do this like kind of show thing where you run around the base, and then you come in, and all the families are there. It's the first time they see their recruits, their, you know, sons and all that stuff. And you basically clean up, you get showered, and they are released to the families for the rest of the day. Well, they go over to the other side of the base, where they, the kind of the civilian, you know, nice side of the base, and they take their debit, and they go to pull cash out of their bank accounts, and there's no money. Like, everyone in the whole company, platoon is no money in their bank account.
Oh, you
and
don't.
So we immediately.
I thought you meant no money in the ATM, no money in their bank accounts.
No money in the bank accounts.
Oh.
So we immediately, at the time, was Marine Federal, we get a hold of them. And now it's like I've got the whole bank staff down at my company office, and we're scratching our heads like, what is happening? And they start pulling the withdrawals, right? They, of course, the bank goes and looks at the withdrawals, and they see that all these withdrawals were made from these recruits' accounts over like the last 3 weeks, between like midnight and 3 a.m, right? So what had happened was, as we quickly kind of peel back the onion on this, is the drill instructors had good initiative as they had told all the recruits to keep their debit cards in their like left breast pocket of their uniform, right? And they told the house mouse, hey, we want you to write down all the pins for every recruit, because these recruits, they got so much going on, they're not going to remember what pin they were assigned.
Stop it.
And we'll keep it under lock and key inside the duty.
Stop.
Yeah, yeah.
You're making this up now because you want some attention.
No, this honestly happened, right? So,
come on.
I can't, yeah, this, so then, the house mouse, they record all the pins and they secure it in a duty hut in this, you know, locker, right? Well, the house mouse, of course, figures out how to get into the locker, right? And he also, because he built the firewash, he put all his buddies between midnight and 3, right? So between midnight and 3, the fire watches were sneaking out, and they were going to the ATM, and they were pulling money, right? So now we can't figure out. We know the house mouse involved, but we don't want him to, you know, basically run, right?
Right.
So that night, that night, we kind of all like, okay, how are we going to attack this, and we start figuring it all out of what's going on. So we still didn't quite understand how the house mouse got the money out. Like, we thought maybe he was just doing it by himself, right? Well, we figure out the fire watches are involved when this happens. Graduation day, right? Now we've got NCIS with us and all this stuff. And they're like, look, graduate them, because we can prosecute them as Marines when you graduate them and not as civilians, as recruits. Does that make sense? Like, it'll be an all, we can, yeah, yeah. So we are literally, I'm out in front of all of this, you know, thousands of people, and I'm looking at the platoon like they don't even know what's coming, right?
Right.
So we had gotten like 30 drone instructors to go inside the squad bay. And normally you line up all of their sea bags and stuff. It's all ready for them to take with them when they leave. Not this platoon. This platoon, it was all lined up in a squad bay. And like every other bag, every third bag had a drone instructor standing behind it, right? And they had no idea. And so we literally, you know, it's usually a big, huge ceremony at the end, and you're like, the recruits, like, you know, do the about face, and then they release the families. Not this one. It's everybody in the audience remains seated. Second platoon, you know, left face, and they marched off into the squad bay, right? While the rest of the company was released for, to release the families. So this platoon goes into the squad bay, and all their stuff's lined up. It's like, you know, now it's like right back into drill instructor recruit mode. It's like, get behind your gear, and so they're all unzipping their stuff, right? And it's all their stuff all packed neatly. Well, I kid you not, we're all standing in there, and the drill instructor zips open one of the bags, and it's filled full of rolled 20s, like something you would see out of like a back of a, like an armored vehicle, like rolled, tightly rolled 20s, right? And we look up, and the kid's gone. Like, the kid, somehow, as he bent down, he took off, right?
What?
And he's sprinting across, yeah, he's got out of squad bay, sprinting across, and so we catch him, right? Probably, you know, I don't know, 100 yards out, like, and we get him, and we grab him, and he squeals on the whole thing. He sings like a canary, that it was the house mouse, he was the orchestrator, it was these, you know, four recruits that were on fire watch during this time, and they had to figure out how to get into the locker of the drill hunter's hut and get the pins, and they were taking the debit cards, and they were going in the middle of the night and pulling out money, you know, $200-$300 at a time out of all of their accounts. And what's crazy about the whole thing, Mac, is they had, the only reason why we knew who it was, we knew that the house mouse had to be involved. But the only reason why, the house mouse wouldn't say anything. And the only reason why we knew that, or figured it all out, and how the rest of them got, you know, basically pulled in, was that one kid had told, you know, basically told her, released everything, And the only reason why we knew it was him is they had put the money in his bag. And we unzipped a couple more bags, but sure enough, they had spread it out in a couple bags that was all involved. But if they had... I don't know if we ever would have caught all of them. You know what I mean? Like, that kid, he told everything. Like, here's what had happened over the last 3 weeks. And craziness.
So there was a group of them, and they stole everybody's money.
Yes.
In recruit training, that's crazy.
Yeah. So think of the middle of the night. I mean, you know, the drill sergeants are sleeping. It's midnight to 3 a.m, and the house mouse aligned his cohorts with this shift to fire watch. And they were taking the debit cards out and going to the ATM because the house mouse figured out where the pins were secured inside the drill instructor's duty hut. And he had given all, okay, hey, Smith's pin number is this. And they take Smith's card over to the ATM and they pull, right? And they pull $200 to $300 at a time. So, yep. That happened, man. And it was crazy because the families, to this day, probably didn't really understand what had happened. Like, that's probably the only time in history where recruit training, like, that company did not give release to families. It was second platoon or whatever it was, platoon 1051, I can't remember what it was, left face, you know, march off the parade deck.
I just, you know,
the company commander.
It's, well done. How do you have the guts? I don't know what you call it. To when you're in that.
They have, like, the integrity, but, you know, obviously their integrity was flushed out the toilet.
Yeah. Still, in that kind of a controlled environment to start running your own criminal enterprise, what the hell?
That's exactly what they did. And we. It was, you know, they had been doing it for weeks, and it wasn't, the whole thing came down because they're...
If they had
left some of the money in there, and you look at, like, how could they have gotten away with it, or maybe gotten away with it for a little bit longer, instead of sucking all the accounts dry, if, like, let's say you went over as a recruit, and $100 out.
The criminals don't think like that. They're not that far-sighted. They're not that far-sighted.
Yeah.
All right. So where are you headed today? Give us an update on Momentum Training.
Yeah. Momentum Training Center is going good. We got a lot of camps starting up this summer. If you know anybody that wants any good soccer camps, they're going to be amazing. We got 4 of them outlined this summer. It's going to be 2 of them are for females only. We brought in 2 women that are going to basically run a program called Mindset. It's getting them empowered with their mind. I'm actually looking maybe to bring Mike Musselman out, do a little bit of, you know how he did that talk about situational awareness for that one woman at the grocery store?
Yes.
So I might talk to Mike about coming out and augmenting and seeing if he'd be interested in talking to these. You know, I've got the high school one is in August. I'd love to have him come out and just, hey, ladies, you know, just situational awareness or having your, you know, knowing what's your left, your right behind you at all times. You know what I mean? And don't put yourself, as we say, don't be a soft target. Be a hard target.
As you know, he's great. He's great at that stuff. And, you know, young guys at that age are invincible. I think young women, they see enough, whether it be assault or rape, whether it's on the news or whatnot, to know that they're probably not invincible. So it's,
That's right.
Do it, man.
Yeah, I know. I think he would be great. Even just if it's just for a couple hours. It's a week-long camp, but just for a couple hours, like one day, it would be fantastic. So, yeah, that's going on. I'm flying up to San Francisco today. With my other company I'm running, at Cali One Aviation. So I'm flying up to San Fran. I'm actually almost to your house, almost to the airport.
Nice.
So almost the headquarters of All Marine Radio, yeah, just down the street.
Hey, our third birthday today. How about that?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Is it today?
Today.
Dude, I was on, what, how ironic is it I called in because I was on the first day, the opening day, right after General Neller. It was me. I might pinch hit it because somebody stepped out. How about that? Battle buddies pinch hitting after the Commandant.
Nice.
We know, yeah. We know who can step in when the need, when there's a need.
Exactly.
So,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah, going into year number three.
Third,
so it's awesome.
Year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going strong, man.
Yeah.
Going strong.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I'll let you go. I know you're a busy guy. I know you're almost ready to work. So, house mouse. Who would have thought?
A house mouse. With all the power. Yeah. Craziness, how much power they have. All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. Travel safe.
All right, too.
Yeah.
Later.
F-18, man. Kurt Knowles. Call sign Rudy. Why is this call sign Rudy? Took him 7 attempts to get accepted to go to flight school. That's right. Little engine that could. Let's see. There's somebody sent me the opinion of in this court case. It's too long for me to. It's too long for me to go ahead and to read. I'll peruse it here. I'm just looking at the dissenting opinions. I think writing the opinion for the majority was Justice Gorsuch. Justice Thomas joins with Justice Gorsuch. Wait, Justice Thomas, with whom Justice Gorsuch joins, concurring in part and concurring in judgment. And then the vote was 7-2, and then Justice Ginsburg dissents. Anyway, I don't have enough time to go into it, but let me just say, I think I share a lot of people's surprise that the vote was 7-2. That's pretty astounding to me when the court has been consistently divided on a 5-4 basis, so we'll see. All right, tomorrow. Now, first of all, it's I'd be remiss. There's a guy who's helped me. His name's Scott McNamee, who helps do our website, and he's been the guy who's found templates and has made the website really something very easy for me to deal with and maintain. And also, I think it's a good website. It does what we need it to do. So, and it was his, I had told him my vision, you know, this is what it looks like and, in my head, but it's hard to find stuff that looks the unique nature of podcasting and, how do you get your, content up in front so everybody can see it in a very, very short period of time. And our website does that. And there's a completely separate challenge to make it look decent on a cell phone. So my thanks to Scott. But most of all, thanks to everybody who listens, who makes it, who contributes, sends me stories, makes comments, and have made All Marine Radio into a great success. But in closing on the birthday, you know, there's two people that have been, you know, part of this from the start. And, the guy without which the All Marine Radio wouldn't exist is Bob Nielsen. So he is a patron saint. He has provided guidance when necessary, inspiration, and he's been a financial backer of All Marine Radio virtually from the start. So he's been a great supporter. And I will tell you, there was times when I thought that I should shut it off, that there's easier to ways to make a living. And I will tell you this, there certainly is. Just showing up and going to work for somebody else are all easier ways to make a living. So, but Bob has been a believer in the concept. He's been a supporter throughout, and he's become a great friend. So, anyway, so, and then the other guy who you heard today, all my friends have been great contributors. Montana Man, F-18 Man, you've heard Mike, so you've heard, you know, a lot of my friends on this show, and, but Mike comes on 4 days a week and is a fan favorite, for all the reasons that you can tell, why we like him so much. He's a great dude and he's funny as hell. So, and he's been all over the world and done all kinds of stuff. And he's smart too. So, my thanks to you all for listening though, because it doesn't stay on without the people who listen. Yeah. Start of year three. Go figure. Thank you for listening. On a Monday that feels like Monday. Have a great one. Tomorrow, you'll hear Secretary Mattis's comments in their entirety. So you'll hear that. And from Duffel Blog fame, Paul Soldier, friend of the Gunners, and famous in Marine Corps circles for the Duffel Blog. So he'll join us as well, which will be fun. Have a good one. Happy birthday. Starting year three. Out.